The Katra Podcast, conversations for the curious essential knowledge, simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI. Welcome back to the deep dive. Today, we're tackling something fundamental, something that sits underneath, well, almost everything, philosophy, math, computer science.
Logic.
Exactly, logic. But we're looking at it in a way most people don't. We usually think of it as fixed, done.
That's set in stone.
Right. But we're diving into the really quite revolutionary work of Graham Priest, mainly looking at his books, Logic and Logic, a very short introduction.
And our mission today is pretty big, actually. We're not just summarizing. We're going to challenge perhaps the most basic assumption in Western thought.
The principle of non-contradiction.
That's the one. The idea that something just cannot be both true and false at the exact same time in the same way.
I mean, for over 2,000 years, that's been the bedrock, hasn't it? It feels like questioning, it just opens the door to chaos.
You'd think so. But why does messing with this matter right now? Well, think about the world we live in. Information overload.
Definitely.
Conflicting data everywhere. Paradoxes popping up in AI and politics, even in just trying to make sense of big data sets.
So simple true-false doesn't always cut it.
It really doesn't.
Yep.
If that's our only tool, we get stuck fast. Priest basically argues we need a more flexible understanding of what it means to be rational today. We need to see logic as this living, evolving science of validity. So to really grasp how radical this is, you need to know a bit about the person making the argument. Graham Priest.
Okay.
He's a very distinguished figure, one of the most prominent, and I'd say definitely one of the most, well, controversial logicians of the late 20th and early 21st centuries.
And what makes his challenge carry weight? Is it his background?
Absolutely. He combines this incredible technical skill, I mean, deep knowledge of formal mathematics and logic, with just immense philosophical courage.
He didn't just learn the rules, he mastered them. Which kind of gives him the standing to say, hey, maybe these rules aren't the whole story.
Precisely. He's the world's leading voice for something called paraconsistent logic.
Okay, what's that?
Those are logical systems specifically designed to handle contradictions without, you know, falling apart. And he champions the philosophical view called dialetheism.
Dialetheism. That sounds important. That's the really controversial bit, isn't it?
That's the core of it, yeah. It's the idea that some contradictions aren't just mistakes in our thinking or language.
But they're actually true, reflecting something real.
That's the claim.
Yeah.
That some contradictions are genuinely true features of reality. It's a mind bender.
I bet.
And yeah, while lots of logicians respect his technical work, defending true contradictions definitely puts him outside the mainstream.
But that's what makes him interesting, right? He's willing to push into territory others just dismiss.
Exactly. He's exploring the very limits of our reasoning tools. Kind of teaching logic, while simultaneously trying to rewrite its foundational rules.
Okay, so let's unpack the main argument in his work. Priest is saying classical logic, the kind with truth tables, the basis for computers, it's powerful, sure.
Hugely powerful.
But it's incomplete. It can't capture everything about rational thinking.
That's the core idea.
Mm.
And his books, they really walk you through this step by step. They start where you'd expect.
Solid ground.
Right. Classical propositional logic, AND, are not truth tables.
Mm-hmm.
Then predicate logic, which brings in quantifiers like all and some, letting us talk about groups of things.
Standard stuff, but that's just act one, right?
Exactly. The real journey starts when you see where these systems start to, well, creak under the strain. That's the shift into non-classical logics.
Ah.
Priest shows how each of these different logics, things like modal logic, fuzzy logic, paraconsistent logic, they didn't just appear out of nowhere. They were invented to solve real problems. Classical logic just couldn't handle
it. Like what kinds of problems?
Things like necessity and possibility or vagueness or, crucially, contradiction itself.
Which leads to his big conclusion.
Yes, which is logical pluralism. He's basically saying, forget the idea that there's one single correct logic that governs all reasoning.
So it's not a competition.
No, it's more like logic is a toolkit. You've got different systems, and they're like different kinds of maps. You know, a road map is great for driving.
But useless for figuring out mountain elevation.
Exactly. You need a topographical map for that. Different domains, different logical tools. None of them are wrong. They're just suited for different tasks.
Okay, let's dig into that foundation a bit more. You mentioned validity as the central concept. What does that really mean in logic? It's not the same as just being true, is it?
No, not at all. And that distinction is absolutely crucial. Logic is fundamentally about the structure of an argument, not whether the starting points, the premises, are actually true or false in the real world.
So an argument can be valid even if the premises are nonsense.
Yes. An argument is valid if, assuming the premises are true, the conclusion must also be true. There's no possible way for the premises to be true and the conclusion false. Think of it like plumbing. Logic checks if the pipes are connected correctly. Validity means the connections are sound. Whether the stuff flowing through the actual facts or claims is true or false, that's a separate question. Logic guarantees the structure.
And we use tools like truth functional logic and those truth tables to test that structure rigorously.
Right. They're powerful for analyzing those connections. But, like we said, they have limits when you hit the messy parts of reality.
Such as?
Well, think about ideas like necessity or possibility. Classical logic is good at describing what is true or false right now.
Okay.
But what about what must be true or what could be true? To reason about that, you need something more. Mm. You need modal logic.
And that brings in...
It brings in the idea of possible worlds. It's a theoretical tool, right? You imagine other ways things could be, other scenarios, to see what truths hold up across them all, or in some of them. It adds layers classical logic doesn't have.
And then there's vagueness. Classical logic is strictly true or false. But what about, is this shirt blue? It's kind of teal.
Exactly. Or the classic example. The Sorites paradox. The paradox of the heap.
Right, the sand heap. One grain isn't a heap. Two grains aren't. Add one grain at a time. When does it become a heap?
Classical logic forces you to draw an arbitrary line. Suddenly, this grain makes it a heap, but the one before didn't. It feels wrong.
So how do we handle that?
That's where fuzzy logic comes in. Chapter 6 in Priest's intro book covers this. Fuzzy logic allows for truth values between 0, completely false, and 1, completely true. So something can be like 0.7 true.
Which makes more sense for vague terms like heap or tall or blue. Okay, so classical logic struggles with necessity, possibility, and vagueness. But the real bombshell is paradox, isn't it?
That's the core crisis point, yeah. Think about the liar paradox. This sentence is false.
If it's true, then what it says must be right, meaning it's false. But if it's false, then what it says is wrong, meaning it's not false, so it must be true.
You're stuck in a loop. It seems to have to be both true and false.
Which classical logic absolutely forbids.
And here's why it's such a disaster for classical logic. The principle of explosion. The Latin name is ex contradiction quodlibet.
Meaning?
Meaning from a contradiction, anything follows.
Wait, hold on. You're saying if I accept just one contradiction, like the liar sentence being true and false, if I let that into my classical logic system?
Then you can logically derive anything, literally anything. Mm-hmm. That the moon is made of cheese, that 2 + 2 = 5, that elephants can fly. Everything becomes provable.
How is that even possible?
The formal proof is actually quite short and uses standard classical rules like disjunction, introduction, and disjunctive syllogism. Once you have P and not P, you can validly get to any Q.
So the whole system just collapses into nonsense. It becomes trivial.
Completely useless for reasoning, right?
Right.
Which is why the standard classic response is ban contradictions. They must be errors, mistakes, things that break the system. We have to eliminate them or show they aren't real contradictions.
But Priest looks at something like the liar paradox and says, no, this isn't just a mistake. It looks like a genuine feature of language or maybe even reality. So if these paradoxes are real and classical logic explodes on contact, what do we do? How do we reason at all?
And that is why we need the radical solutions. First, there's the technical cool, paraconsistent logic, which Priest champions.
Okay, how does that work?
It's a type of logic specifically engineered to reject the principle of explosion. It's designed so that encountering a contradiction, like P and not P, doesn't let you prove absolutely everything.
It contains the damage.
Exactly. It tolerates inconsistency locally. It allows you to have conflicting information in one part of your system without the whole system becoming trivial. It's like having firewalls in your reasoning.
So paraconsistent logic is the technical shield. It saves reasoning from collapse.
It provides the logical machinery, yes.
But then there's dialetheism. That's the philosophical leap, isn't it?
That's the really big controversial claim. Paraconsistent logic shows it's possible to reason with contradictions without explosion. Dialetheism says we should do that because some contradictions are actually factually true.
They're not just problems to be managed, but actual features of the world or language or thought.
That's the Dialetheus thesis Priest defends. He argues that things like the liar paradox, or maybe even certain quantum phenomena or situations involving change, genuinely are contradictory. They are true contradictions. or dilithia.
Wow. Okay, that really does require rethinking fundamental assumptions, which links to one of the key themes you mentioned, the contingency of principles.
Absolutely. Christ forces us to ask, are principles like non-contradiction or the law of the excluded middle, that everything is either true or false, no middle ground,
sure,
are they absolute necessary laws of thought?
Or are they more like deeply embedded historical or metaphysical choices we've made about how to structure our reasoning?
Exactly. They've been incredibly useful, no doubt.
Mm.
But are they untouchable? Priest argues no. If we find situations like paradoxes where they seem to fail or lead to problems, maybe the principles themselves need revision, not just the situations.
Which reframes how we see paradoxes too, not just as annoying errors.
Right. That's the paradoxes as catalyst theme. Instead of things to be swept under the rug, Priest sees them as crucial stress tests for our logical systems.
They push logic to its limits and force it to evolve.
Precisely. They're not failures. They're engines of progress, driving us to create more robust, more nuanced logical tools.
And this all points towards a different idea of what it means to be rational.
Yeah. The final big theme is rationality is flexibility. True rationality isn't about rigidly clinging to one set of ancient rules, no matter what.
It's about adapting.
It's about having the wisdom and the flexibility to choose the right logical tools for the problem at hand. It's about being willing to revise even our most basic assumptions when the evidence or the paradoxes demand it. It's adapting our reasoning to the complex, sometimes messy world we actually inhabit. You know, Priest has a real knack for boiling these huge ideas down into some really memorable lines.
Yeah, let's talk about a few key ones. I like this one that gets right to the heart of what logic is even for. The central mission of logic is to understand validity, to determine what follows from what.
That really shifts the focus, doesn't it? It's not about just checking facts. It's about understanding the connections, the structure of inference itself, what guarantees a conclusion given certain starting points.
Right. And then defining the technical breakthrough. A paraconsistent logic is one that can tolerate contradictions without exploding into triviality.
That's the engine room right there. Yep. That sentence captures the core innovation. It's what makes thinking seriously about dilithium even possible without just descending into chaos. It's the logical firewall.
And maybe my favorite, the philosophical punchline. Logic is not the science of how we must think, but the art of how we can think.
Oh, I love that one too. It's so empowering, isn't it? It frames logic not as this set of rigid constraints imposed on us, but as a creative toolkit.
Something we build and refine.
Exactly. It emphasizes choice, creativity, adaptation, rather than just following ancient dogma. It's about expanding the possibilities of thought.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've been pretty deep in the theory. How does this radical view of logic actually connect to the real world? Are there practical applications?
You mentioned AI and big data earlier.
Yeah, computer science is probably the most direct application area, especially for paraconsistent logic. Imagine you have a huge database, maybe sensor readings from, say, an autonomous vehicle or medical records or financial data.
Okay.
These databases are massive. They're constantly updated, often from multiple sources. It's almost inevitable that you'll get inconsistencies. Two sensors might momentarily give conflicting reports, object detected and object not detected at the same time.
In a classical system, that's disaster, right? Explosion.
Total system crash, potentially. Or just paralysis.
Right.
Because if you accept P and not P, you can derive anything. So the database becomes useless for reliable queries.
But with paraconsistent logic?
You can build systems that expect some inconsistency. They can flag the contradiction, maybe try to resolve it or work around it, or assign a lower confidence level to that piece of data without bringing the whole system down.
It allows the system to keep functioning even with messy data. That seems vital for complex AI.
Absolutely essential. And it's not just machines. This way of thinking helps our own critical thinking, too.
How so?
Well, once you really internalize the difference between a valid argument structure and the truth of the claims within it, you get much better at analyzing, say, debates or news articles or social media arguments.
You can spot when someone's using emotionally charged language to cover up a weak logical connection.
Precisely. You can see the hidden assumptions, the fallacies, even if the conclusion sounds persuasive. It sharpens your ability to evaluate the reasoning itself, not just the surface claims.
That's a useful skill.
And there's even a, perhaps surprising, application on a more personal level, maybe in psychology or just understanding people better.
How does dilithium apply there?
Think about it. People often hold contradictory beliefs or feelings at the same time, don't they? You can love someone and be deeply frustrated by them simultaneously. You can believe strongly in a political ideal, but have serious doubts about the party representing it.
We're not always perfectly consistent.
Rarely. And demanding strict consistency, saying you can't feel both, pick one, often doesn't work and isn't very empathetic. Dilithium, or at least the spirit of it, suggests maybe it's okay, maybe it's even true, that people can embody these contradictions.
So accepting that complexity in someone, rather than trying to force them into a neat logical box.
Yeah, it could lead to, you know, better understanding, maybe more effective communication in relationships, because you're dealing with the actual, sometimes contradictory person, not an idealized, consistent version.
That's a really interesting angle. So thinking back on all this, what was the most surprising thing for you diving into Priest's work?
For me, I think it's realizing that questioning something as utterly fundamental as the principle of non-contradiction doesn't automatically lead to intellectual anarchy or anything goes.
Right. Felt like it should.
Yeah. But instead, it actually forces the development of more sophisticated, more rigorous, logical systems. Systems designed to handle the very complexities that classical logic avoids. It's counterintuitive, but it feels like an advance in rationality, not a retreat.
That's a great point. And for me, the biggest takeaway is probably the lesson in intellectual humility.
How so?
Just the willingness Priest shows to question the things we take most for granted, the obvious truths. It's a reminder that what seems absolutely fundamental might just be a very successful, very long-lasting assumption.
And that real philosophical progress often happens right at those foundational points.
Exactly. It encourages you to keep questioning, to not assume any framework as the final word. Logic becomes this ongoing, open-ended adventure.
A powerful way to think about it.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.